Welcome to Talks from the Bible. The Apostle Paul has preached the gospel in the city of Thessalonica. He addresses two epistles to these brethren. He identifies them as the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle has preached the gospel. The Thessalonians have received the gospel. And as a result of their obedience to the gospel, they have become the church. They have access to the blessings of grace and peace. He identifies them as the election of God. He declares unto them that he has preached the gospel in word, in power, in assurance, in the Holy Ghost, and in affliction. They have listened, they have heard, they have obeyed. They have become the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We obey the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ when we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with him, we shall also be raised in his likeness. The gospel also reveals the coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul expresses to the Thessalonians that they are, as the church, his hope, his joy, his crown of rejoicing, if they are found in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Paul teaches that they must be faithful to the gospel which they have received. They must continue to live according to the gospel. They must abide in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals the coming of Christ. There is the assurance of his coming that is presented to us in the gospel. We can be assured that Jesus Christ is going to come. He has come. We believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary in the stable of Bethlehem, that he grew to adulthood, that he became a minister of God as he went about teaching and performing miracles. He established his divine nature by the miracles that he performed, and also by the word which he proclaimed, for that word was from the Holy Spirit of God. But Jesus is going to come again. Jesus had to die upon the cross. He arose from the dead. He ascended back to his heavenly Father, where he now sits at the right hand of God, ruling over his body, the church, the kingdom of God. But Jesus is going to come again. The Bible, the gospel, gives us the assurance of his coming. We can be assured that Jesus is going to come. In 1 Corinthians 15, 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 is discussing the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us of our own resurrection. We will die, but we will be raised. The Apostle Paul says that the time of that resurrection is at his coming. When Jesus comes, the dead will be raised. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his return to heaven. He had discussed with them the truth that he had come into the world and that his mission was almost complete and would be completed in his death upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave. These disciples are troubled because they hear that Christ is going to leave them. that he's no longer going to be found in their earthly presence. And so in John 14, he utters words of comfort. In verse 3, he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus states emphatically to his disciples, "And truthfully, I will come again." They could be assured that Jesus Christ was going to come again into the world. We likewise can be assured of his coming. Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for the faithful, for those who are obedient to his gospel, for those whom Paul identified as the election of God in writing to the Thessalonians. "I will come again." Jesus spoke words of comfort. Jesus spoke words of hope. Jesus spoke words of assurance. Jesus is going to come again. In Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Jesus appeared the first time so that he might bear the sins of all humanity in his body on the tree, the cross. But as Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, unto those that look for him shall he appear the second time. The second time when he comes, he shall be without sin, for salvation has already been secured by his first coming and his death upon the cross. We must look for him. We must expect him to come. We must take comfort in the truth that he is going to come. Those who look for him are those who have obeyed him. Those who look for him are those who have been redeemed by his blood, purged from their sins, and who are, as Paul identified in Thessalonica, the church in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church looks for Christ to come again. He will come the second time. Titus 2 and verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Looking for the blessed hope. Looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In this passage of Scripture, Titus 2:13, Jesus is identified as God and Savior. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus is God. And he is Savior. Through his death upon the cross, he saved us from our sins. There is a way of salvation. There is a plan of salvation that God has given to the human family. And that plan has been secured in Jesus Christ. And so we look for the hope that we have in Christ. Our hope is in the coming of Christ, our resurrection from the dead, our ascension into heaven, our eternal home. That is a blessed hope. That provides comfort to those who live the Christian life with the assurance that Jesus will come again and that we will live eternally through him. The Apostle Paul writes to this young preacher and mentions the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior. That is our assurance. We are assured, we have hope in our heart, we have a confidence that Jesus Christ is going to have a glorious appearance in the world the second time. Colossians 3 and verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Christ is our life. Through Christ we live. Without Christ we are dead. We are alive because we have been redeemed from sin. We have a spiritual life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus shall appear so that we might appear with him in glory. 1 Peter 5 verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye also shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And so you understand that in the biblical record, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is the assurance of the coming of Christ. Christ assures his disciples, his followers, the church, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is going to come and we are going to appear with him in glory. The gospel reveals that Christ is going to come and we are given assurance of that coming, but we are also informed about the manner of his coming. How is Christ going to come? In what manner will he come? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Jesus is going to come as a thief comes. He is going to come without an announcement. The Bible tells us that he is going to come. The Bible does not tell us when he is going to come. The Bible does not reveal unto us the day nor the hour that Jesus is going to come. In Matthew 25:13, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Jesus will come at an unexpected time. Jesus will come when men are not looking for him. Jesus will come when men are living in sin. Jesus will come when there is a recklessness about human life. Jesus will come when people are going about their business, doing their own thing, and involving themselves in all manner of living, even ungodly living. Jesus is going to come when the righteous are living the righteous life, when the church is steadfastly holding to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to come at an unexpected time. That announcement is not going to be over the radio. It's not going to be by means of the news media. It is going to be unexpected, just as a thief comes without any foretelling of his arrival. Jesus is going to appear. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The coming of Christ will be announced to the human family with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God will shake the very foundations of hell, so that the dead shall arise from the grave. That's going to be an announced coming. When Jesus comes, there will be a mighty shout from heaven. The archangel will sound the coming of Christ. The trumpet of God will announce the coming of Christ. This is the manner of his coming. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be hundreds of years following this date, but Jesus is going to come as a thief with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to arise. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Please pay attention to this passage of Scripture. Please listen to what the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written in this verse. First, the manner of his coming. He will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Oh, what a glorious appearing that is going to be. He's going to come in flaming fire. The eyes of humanity are going to take notice of this coming. No one is going to miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, with his mighty angels in flaming fire. But what I want you to notice in particular is that Jesus is going to come to give rest to those who are being persecuted. We have talked about the residents of Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica, being persecuted by the enemies. Jesus is coming to give rest. And then I want you to notice he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach so that you might hear, believe, and obey the gospel of Christ. Paul preached to the Thessalonians because there was the design of God and the desire of the preacher that they might obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know God. We do not know God outside of the gospel of Christ. And Jesus is coming to take vengeance on those who do not obey and those who do not know God. But the manner of His coming is with His mighty angels in flaming fire. It's going to be a glorious arrival. It's not going to be like the first coming of Jesus. He was born in a stable. Of course, His coming was announced by a heavenly chorus. It was announced to shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And before long, people everywhere knew that Jesus had come. Today, people know that Jesus has come because the gospel is proclaimed, the truth of God is preached. But Jesus is going to come again, and He's going to come in great glory. He's not going to come in that humble state in which He descended the first time that He came to earth, but He's coming with great glory. His coming is going to be announced once more by heaven. Jude 1, verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, because those who are dead are going to come. They're going to be resurrected from the grave, and they're going to come forth. Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night, but when He comes, it's going to be announced to all of humanity so that even the foundation of the grave is shaken, that the dead might come forth, arise from their graves. Jesus is going to come in all of the glory and majesty of heaven as He so deserves. Let us notice the events of His coming. What is going to transpire when Jesus comes? What is going to take place at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, Then cometh the end. At verse 23, we noticed at His coming. Then cometh the end. At the coming of Christ, the end is going to come. He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. He's going to take His kingdom, the church, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and deliver it to God the Father. He's going to take that church that is upon the earth and deliver it into the heavenly realm at the end when He comes. He shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. The reign of Jesus is going to be complete. Jesus is coming to deliver His saints to eternal glory. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There will be a resurrection of the dead at the coming of Jesus Christ. Those who are now dead will be raised. Those who die in future days until the coming of Christ will be raised. The decaying bodies of humanity will be resurrected from the grave and will be given a new body, a spiritual body, an immortal body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that in the twinkling of an eye, before one can even think, the dead are going to be raised and they're going to be recreated with a spiritual, immortal body. John 6 and verse 39, And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Four times in John chapter 6, Jesus says, Raise it up at the last day. Then cometh the end, when He shall deliver the kingdom to God. He will resurrect the dead at the last day. There will be a resurrection of the good and the bad, the evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous, the obedient and the disobedient. All of earth's souls will be resurrected from the grave in the last day when Jesus comes. Earlier at John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The hour is coming, not yet here, but the hour is coming. All that are in the graves, all of the dead, everywhere, in every land, shall come forth when they hear the voice of Christ. Jesus, in John chapter 11, will perform the miracle of calling into the tomb of Lazarus and bringing forth his dead friend from the grave. At the coming of Christ, the appearing of Jesus Christ, this glorious appearing of the Son of God, all of the dead will hear his voice and shall come forth. There are two classes of individuals at that hour. They that have done good and they that have done evil. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There will be the saved and there will be the unsaved. There will be those who are found in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ because they have received the gospel, they have obeyed the gospel, they know God. And then there will be those who do not know God, who have not obeyed the gospel, who have rejected the grace of God. Resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Christ is going to change us. He's going to take this old vile, mortal, decaying body, and he's going to fashion it like unto his own glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. God is able to do all things. He is the all-powerful one. He identifies himself in the pages of the Old Testament as the Lord God Almighty. There is nothing outside the power of God. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot do. And in the hour that Christ appears, he's going to raise the dead. And he's going to take this old, vile, mortal, decaying body and fashion it like unto his own glorious body. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to be made like Christ. We're going to be formed into that perfect image of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:24, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, put down all rule and all authority and power." He's going to deliver the kingdom. He's going to take the souls of the saints, change their vile, corruptible body into a glorious body like unto his own. We will see him even as he is, and we will become like him in that hour. And we will be delivered into the eternal realm. 2 Peter 3:8 through 11 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." God is unconcerned about time. God does not take account of time. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Now we have the opportunity to repent. Now we have the opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we have the opportunity to become saints of God. Now we have the opportunity to become the loved of God, beloved of God. Now we have the opportunity to become the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What's going to happen? In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Because the end of time is going to come, because the world is going to be destroyed, when Christ appears, we ought to be people of holy conversation and godliness. In Matthew 25, 31, 32, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This is an event that is going to transpire. When Jesus comes, He's going to sit upon the throne of His glory. All the dead are going to be resurrected, and we're going to appear in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to judge us. He's going to decide whether we are the saved or the unsaved. He's going to decide whether we are the obedient or the disobedient. He's going to decide whether we are the sheep or the goats. He's going to separate us, and He's going to pass judgment upon us. The coming of Jesus Christ demands our preparation. We have the assurance that Jesus is going to come, and therefore we must prepare ourselves for His coming. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know ye not.'" They were not prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. They had not adequately prepared for the delay of Christ. We must prepare our lives. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein He cometh." Because we do not know the day nor the hour wherein He comes, we must be prepared at every day, at every hour. We must be prepared every moment that we live upon the earth, for we do not know when we shall leave the earth, nor do we know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. We must be prepared for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be established. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." When Jesus Christ comes with all of His saints, we must be found unblameable in holiness before God. We must live in preparation for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals that Jesus is going to come. He's going to come at an unexpected time. We must be found in holiness, righteousness, having embraced His salvation, which has been presented to us through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us prepare every day, every hour, for the coming of Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.